Ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Today is March 29th, 2022. It is 9:01 a.m. We are all gathered for the regular meeting of the Annuity and Pension Board for the ERS. And if we want to start with roll call, please, Jan.
Sure. Mr. Campbell?
Here.
Ms. Ford?
Here.
Ms. King?
Here.
Mr. Klusman is excused. Mr. Conrad is excused. Mr. Kovac?
Here.
Ms. Sawa?
Here.
And Mr. Bell?
Here.
Quorum.
Thank you, and good morning, everybody. The first item of business is item number one, the approval of minutes. Any questions or comments regarding that from members? Not hearing any. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Aicha will make the motion.
Ms. King will second.
Thank you, Aicha. Thank you, Ms. King. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any objection, the motion passes. The next item for discussion is item number two, the Chief Investment Officer Report. Mr. Silver, are you handling that today?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a couple of brief comments, but first I'll turn it over to Mr. Sauer to give a performance update for the board today.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Sauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everyone. You can see on the handout there that the fund ended the month of February with a value of $6.17 billion. The return had a return of 1.4% for the month, and you can see in the table to the right that the fund is outperforming in all time periods shown. Eight of the fund's 15 active mandates are outperforming year to date. In the public equity, fixed income, and absolute return asset classes, along with the total fund, are outperforming their respective benchmarks year to date. Through February 28th, the fund had seen a change in the value of its investments of negative $47.9 million. It paid out benefits and expenses of $77.7 million and had received contributions of $77.9 million. So far in March, you know, we're not all the way through the month, but most of the way there. The fund is down slightly through March 28th, which brings the value of the fund to $6.16 billion as of March 28th. This month, once again, the majority of the benefit payments will come from the fund's cash balance, but we will be withdrawing $9 million from our investment with principal. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to take them at this time. Otherwise, that concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Sauer. Any comments or questions from members or staff?
Mr. Bell, hi, this is Mr. Allen. I have a comment slash question to ask Eric about. Eric, maybe you could, this has come up a couple times, mostly for me, I guess. Could you just spend a second or two telling the trustees about our Russia exposure?
Sure, this is something that we've looked into, we've talked to the managers about. Fortunately it's very low. It amounts to approximately 50 basis points of our public equity portfolio. So 0.5% of our stocks. As far as we know, we don't have Russia anywhere else in the portfolio. So when you look at that portion of our stock portfolio that's in Russia, and you look at it on the basis of the total fund, it comes to approximately 20 basis points, so 0.2%. So it's very small.
Thank you, Eric. So my conclusion after you and I spoke about this a few times was that our real exposure, or the real impact, if any, was actually from the S&P 500 rather than Russia. The markets in this country have been, public markets have been very volatile, and so Russia is just not even a rounding error. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Eric. Any other questions or comments? Not hearing any, can move it over to Mr. Silver.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just briefly, I want to remind everybody of our next investment committee meeting. It's on April 14th, so just in a little over a couple weeks from now. I think we're going to have a really interesting agenda that we're working and coordinating with Callan right now. There's three deliverables in particular that Callan's working on that's I'm looking forward to, I think you will too. Number one, they're going to present their 2022 work plan, tentative work plan for the rest of the year that they want to go over at investment committee meetings. Number two, we're going to kick off a public equity structure review, a phase one of that. If you remember last year, we covered quite a bit. We did our real assets structure review, absolute return, fixed income. We do private equity kind of annually when we update our pacing, annual pacing model. Everything, we've kind of checked off everything except for public equity, which is our biggest part of the portfolio. So we're going to move towards that. And then lastly, Callan's going to, every year they update, they call it an annual asset allocation review. What they do, you might remember, they take our strategic policy, which we only update every 3 to 5 years, but then they update our asset allocation weights with their most up-to-date capital market assumptions, which are like their most up-to-date expected returns, standard deviation, and correlations. And then they tell us with their most up-to-date information, with their 2022 numbers, basically what the fund's expected return and risk profile is of our asset allocation with the most up-to-date numbers. So that's always an interesting process, and it gives you an opportunity to ask good questions as well as they come up. Again, the package I think will go out next Friday. So as always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to me, and I'm happy to talk about it. Go over the package with you, try to answer any questions or go over anything in advance of the meeting if you'd like to do that. Lastly, just an update on the hedge fund of funds search. So remember back in the February investment committee meeting, we interviewed hedge fund of fund finalists. We selected one contingent on successful legal negotiations and investment due diligence. So both of those are moving concurrently right now. Reinhardt has been contacted, and they've started the legal negotiation on behalf of ERS with the selected manager. Eric has a trip planned with the selected manager to conduct the investment due diligence. And if everything goes well, we'll have something to report back to you in a few months to tell you how everything came together with that. That concludes my prepared remarks. If there's any questions, I'm happy to take any.
Thank you, David. Any comments or questions from board members or staff? Not hearing any, item two, the Chief Investment Officer report will be placed on file. Item number three, the Administration and Operations Committee report, and that will be handled by Michelle.
Good morning, everyone. The Administration and Operations Committee met last Thursday, March 17th at 9 a.m. We had the election of our vice chair, which we re-elected Ms. King. So congratulations, Ms. King. And we had the Baker Tilly, our external auditors, kicked off the audit. That was our next agenda item. And then Clifton Larson Allen, who is our internal auditor, went through their 2022 audit and plan and the IT audit presentation, as well as the finance and accounting audit report presentation, where we had good audit reports from that. Our next agenda items, I believe, are approvals that we have to vote on at the full board. So we have an approval of the contract amendment with United Mailing Services, and then also the approval of the closeout for the 2021 budget. Jerry or Dan, did you want to go over that?
Oh, sure. On United Mailing.
Jerry?
Yes, this is Jerry.
Be there.
Oh, thank you, Aisha. I'm here. I guess I was muted for a minute here. On United Mailing Services, this is the city's mail contractor and also the ERS's mail contractor. We've had United Mailing Services for some time. The A&O committee recommended that we renew the contract, I believe, in February. And this past month, in March, we were simply bringing the contract, you know, the completed contract that was reviewed briefly by the city attorney's office for you know, enforceability. And so it's recommended that we by the staff as well, that we renew with United Mailing Services. This is a fairly small market. We did an RFQ, and there were really no other folks that felt that they could handle the assignment in Milwaukee. We've had good results with them. The amount of our expenditure for them each year is rather low. The main reason we use United Mailing Service is for the retiree newsletters, which we post on our website, and we send them by email to people that are willing to receive them by email and for whom we have emails. We don't have emails for everybody. It's voluntary. And then also for the mailing of ballots in connection and other materials in connection with our trustee elections. So again, the cost of this service is, it's, you know, on an annual basis, under about $30,000 a year. And so they've done a good job for us, and so we're recommending that we go ahead and renew with them. We don't really have any other options in Milwaukee. We'd have to, you know, go outside the city and look for some other mail service. That's, I guess, our recommendation. And the committee recommended it, is recommending to the full board as well. If there's any questions or comments, I guess we can take them now. Mary Clark, you're on the line too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if there's any questions about the RFQ, Mary can address them because she handled that. Okay, thank you very
thank
much.
You for that. Thank you for that information. Ms. Sauer, do you have anything else regarding item A or B? If not, I can go through the motions for both.
No, I don't. I don't know if they wanted to speak to item B as well before the board voted to approve it.
Sure, why don't we do the motion for A, and then we can go forward and discuss B then prior to the motion for that.
I'll make
the motion before the... Thank you. Mr. Kovac, was that a motion for the approval of contract amendment with UMS?
Yeah, but it wasn't from me. I think it was from Aisha, but I'm happy to say.
Yeah, it was for me.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Sauer. Do I have a second? From Mr. Kovac?
Yeah, Kovac seconds.
Thank you. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any objections, the motion passes for the approval of contract with UMS services. And we can move on to item B, Ms. Sauer, for the approval, discussion of the approval of closeout of a 2021 budget.
Yes, I don't know if Dan wanted to speak to that, if he's on.
Yes, Dan, are you there?
Okay. Yeah, I can. This is Dan Gopal, and I'm the ERS Chief Financial Officer. Our total expenses for 2021 were $16,278,229. Of that $16.3 million expenses, $436,000 of it relate to non-trust activities. That would be for like the administration of our life insurance program, retiree health, and any other non-trust item. So our total trust expenses were $15,841,942. Previously, we had reimbursed the city $15,220,000 towards the cost. So we have a balance due of $621,841.77. So we just need approval to make this final payment to the city for our trust expenses. If anyone has any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Thank you. Daniel, any other comments or questions from board members or Ms. Sawa?
This is Molly.
Go ahead, Mel.
So just want to point out one thing that the overall budget is 20.7 million dollars, and it expended natural expenditure of 16.3. So overall, the department, it just shows the commitment they have to the operations and how efficiency the entire operation is running, that they're able to come under budget by almost $5 million. So I want to say this is major kudos to Jerry and his entire team for, you know, being very fiscally prudent in their spending within their operations. So just want to point that out.
Thank you, Molly. Any other comments or questions? Approval of closeout of the 21 budget. Not hearing any comments, I'd like to put forward a motion to approve the closeout of the 2021 budget.
I'd like to make that motion, Molly.
Thank you, Molly. Do I have a second? Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any objections, the motion to approve the closeout of 21 budget is approved. On a side note, thank you, Ms. King, for stepping up for the vice chair of the A&L committee. Moving on to item number 4, new business, letter A, regarding discussion of board rule 2.C.5, role of deputy director in the absence or illness of the secretary and executive director. Mr. Allen, do you want to speak about this?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Bell. Many years ago, the board provided for succession in the event of the inability or absence vacancy of the executive director and the secretary. And that's this board rule. A copy of it is included in your packet. And so it provides that, very simple, one paragraph, that in the absence or illness of the secretary and executive director, the deputy shall have responsibilities and perform all the duties of that position. I would hasten to add too that this executive director is certainly willing to give the board 6 months notice in the event of any plans to retire. Although I would also add that I have no current plans to retire. We have this looming 2023 contribution matter before us, and I certainly want to see that through. We will be presenting the actuarial evaluation for 2023 in the summer of 2023. And then beyond that, there is still, I think, a faint spark alive of, you know, the city's, it's not really the city's proposal, but the sales tax and pension reform bill, although the sponsor of that bill is not clear whether he's going to continue in the legislature. And actually, that's not even been introduced yet, but I certainly want to see that process through. So I have no plans to retire at this point. I want to assure the board that this is a critical matter coming up before that we all have to deal with, the trustees and the staff. And then, but further again, I would reiterate that I would give 6 months notice. The ED for the WRS gave 3 months notice, but I think in the circumstances I should give more notice on that. And of course, you know, the best laid plans for mice and men and all that, if I should get hit by a truck or something, or health would fail, then of course the deputy director is here to maintain a continuity. That's really what that provision is for, to maintain continuity of operations. And then of course she is surrounded, as I am, with a very competent and capable staff. We have, you know, Daniel Gopalin is our CFO, David and Eric outrunning our investment operations, Jeff Schober, IT, Gus Petropoulos is ably handling the disability matters. And my personal management philosophy for a long time has been that a well-organized and run organization should run for about 10 years, even if the head is cut off. Obviously, it won't take that long to replace a position, but I just wanted to reassure everybody that we have provided for continuity. One of the trustees had asked about this issue, so that's why it's on the agenda. There's no action required at this time. I just wanted to respond to that, the inquiry, and put it on the agenda. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Any comments or questions from board members or staff?
This is Molly.
Go ahead, Molly.
I just wanted to say thanks, Mr. Allen, for putting this on the agenda. One of the, was the one who inquired more about what is the succession plan overall for the ERS plan, and should something, you know, in the absence of Mr. Allen, what are the protocols in place? So I appreciate you going into details on this, Mr. Allen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ms. King. Thank you, Mr. Allen. Any other comments or questions regarding?
Mr. Chair, this is Mr. Campbell.
Go ahead, Mr. Campbell.
I'd just like to add a debt of gratitude and thanks to Mr. Allen for previous and future commitment to the organization. That is something that helps me sleep at night, knowing that you're committed to this potential difficult phase coming up come 2023. So I appreciate you, and I appreciate what you've done in the past and what you will do in the future.
Well, thank you, Jim. And of course, I'm ably assisted by all the folks that I mentioned. And I forgot to mention Terry Siddiqui. Pardon me, Terry. Terry is our chief cook and bottle washer. He's a yeoman. He's a contractor, but he wears an awful lot of hats here and is a big part of our institutional memory as well. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Thank you, Mr. Allen. Moving on, unless we have other comments regarding to item four, letter B, retirement, death claims, and refunds for February.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. So in the packet is the normal housekeeping list for retirement, death claims, and refunds for the month of February. We do need a motion to approve the payroll for this month, but it's routine. There are no notable exceptions to mention at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Do I have a, or first off, any comments or questions from board members or staff? Not hearing any, put forward a motion for approval of payroll for February.
Campbell, I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Do I have a second?
Ms. King will second.
Thank you, Ms. King. Any objections regarding the payroll? Not hearing any objections, the motion for approval of payroll passes. Next item up is item number four, and that is going to item number four, letter C, conference requests for the March 2022 board meeting. Mr. Allen, did you want to discuss this, or I can go through what we have?
That's okay. I'll be happy to do that. So we have several requests this time. Eric Sauer would like to go to the, visit the new hedge fund manager due diligence process. He'll be traveling in April from the 11th to 13th, and the estimated cost of that is about $1,400. Also for Eric, he's doing a due diligence trip for Castle Ark. That's in Chicago. It's approximate cost of $250 there. That's a low-cost trip. I'm requesting to go to the Callan Institute 2022 Annual Conference in San Francisco at the end of next month. That's $2,500 proposed budget. David would like to go visit Loomis Sales and MFS on due diligence in connection in the pro-largest meeting with one of our real estate managers. And that's Boston, and that's in May. $1,600 is the estimated cost of that. Deborah Ford, trustee, would like to attend the NCPERS annual conference and exhibition and the trustee education seminar in Washington, D.C. That's May 21st to the 25th. And there's a fee involved with that for the conference registration, so the cost is a little higher. It's only $4,300, though. The cost of flight and everything to Washington is not so bad, there is a fee, and the hotel there is the one where the conference is going to be held. So those are the ones that we have. Ms. King has requested that she also attend this conference, and the budget would be the same. And both the conference and the trustee education seminar for the modules, I believe one and two for that. And that would also be May 21st to 25th. So that's kind of an audible at the line of scrimmage to include Ms. King's request. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Any comments or questions regarding board members or staff?
Mr. Chair, this is Mr. Campbell.
Go ahead, Mr. Campbell.
Is this something that needs a motion for approval?
Yes, Jim.
Okay. So I will go ahead and make the motion, and also just make the comment. I've been through the trustee education seminar that NCPERS puts on. I've also gone through the accredited fiduciary program that I believe the chairman has gone through as well. So I give credit to both Ms. Ford and Ms. King for taking time out of their schedules to be able to better themselves and give themselves some tools that will translate to the things that we do on a daily basis, educating ourselves at the ERS. So let me put forth that motion, and thank you guys for your continued support of the organization.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Do I have a second regarding motion for conference request approvals?
Kovac, second.
Thank you, Mr. Kovac. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any objections, motion passes for conference requests approval. Moving on to item number five, medical reports. Item A, all duty and ordinary disability applications and reexaminations for March.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. And so in your package this month are the normal routine reports for both the medical panel and the medical council, the approvals reports, and there are very few cases this month, actually. They're all reexaminations, and they're all being recommended for approval to the board by both the medical panel and the medical council. There's only three of them, actually, so it's a pretty short list this month.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Any comments or questions from board members or staff regarding the applications and reexaminations? Not hearing any, this item requires a motion to approve. So put forward a motion to approve the recommendation of the medical panel and medical council for March. Do I have a motion regarding?
Ms. King will make that motion.
Thank you, Ms. King. Do I have a second?
4 seconds.
I'm sorry, was that Ms. Ford?
4 seconds, sorry.
No, thank you, Ms. Ford. Any objections regarding the approval recommendations, medical council and panel? Not hearing any, motion passes. Moving on to Item 6, unfinished business. Letter A, pending legal opinions and service request reports. That's going to be handled by Patrick. And first off, welcome back safely. And go ahead with talking about the legal opinions.
Yeah, for the benefit of all trustees, Mr. McLean has been on active duty with the Marine Corps as a captain overseas in the Philippines, and I'm sure he'd be happy to tell us all about that experience. But go ahead, Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Allen. Glad to be back. As the board can see, we got a couple of pending items there. Would have liked to have gotten to some of those a little sooner, but given my absence, there was a slight delay addressing particularly that first pending opinion request related to the ex officio trustee, but diligently pursuing it and hope to have a resolution on these soon. As it relates to the Philippines, busy and didn't get to do as much sightseeing as I would have liked, but otherwise a good experience all around, and can't say I didn't enjoy my time there.
Thank you, Ms. McLean, and obviously appreciate the service for us, and glad that you're back safe. Any comments or questions for Mr. McLean regarding pending legal opinions and service requests report?
This is Ms. King. I have a question.
Go ahead, Ms. King.
What about ITEP? Welcome back, Patrick. Glad to have you back safely here in the United States. With item 2 and 3 on the pending city attorney, the one on same-sex spouse, retiree, and the annuity and pension board direct hires. Is that something also you're working on, or?
Yes, those are both files that have been assigned to me.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Molly. Any other questions for Mr. McLean? Not hearing any, that will be placed on file. Item 6, letter B. Pending legislation report. Mr. Allen?
Well, thank you, Mr. Bell. There's really no updates on pending legislation at this time. Nothing new to report.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Any comments or questions from board members or staff? Not hearing any, move on to item 6. Letter C, the Executive Director's Report and inventory of the ERS projects that are occurring. And Mr. Allen again.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bell. I'll try to be brief. Item number 1, personnel update. The ERS is working with the ER to fill the following positions: pension investment analyst, senior ERS network security administrator, and records technician 2. And those recruitments are underway, and hopefully we'll have some progress to report soon on that. Member services, we had 44 new retirees on the payroll in February, and we're expecting about 30 this month, apparently. And there was a general city workshop on February 25th, and we had good attendance of about 51. These are being conducted virtually, as the city is doing also with the new hire orientation programs. It's all virtual these days. We had a new employee orientation for DPW and for the 9/11 operators that Mike Chu from our office attended. Those go pretty well, actually. And then we have a breakdown of the ERS benefit payouts and active deferred accounts, as we usually do every month. Financial services, the staff, that's item 3. Staff has begun to work on the 2023 budget request, and we'll be bringing that to the A&O committee next month, and also to the board. The board approves that in April, and we have to submit it to the city's budget office in May. So there will be a special A&O meeting, as I think we sent, Jan sent out a notice a week or so ago, on the 20th of April to review the budget request. And And we're continuing, of course, to work with the actuary and the financial audit in connection with our normal schedule of completing the year-end audit for 2021 and evaluation for 2022. And that work is all going well. We've sent the actuarial extract and are having communications with the actuary regarding, you know, questions and you know, the census data. There's a back and forth that goes on every year in connection with that. Information services, everything is going very well. We meet with Jeff 3 times a week and his staff to, you know, review everything, and everything seems to be going well. If any of the trustees are having any issues with laptops or iPads that we've issued to them, please let us know and we'll make sure they get updated. And then lastly, on administration, there's an item that was new under the legal opinion section that I've included some documentation on. There was an opinion prepared by the Reinhardt firm back in 2007, in connection with compensation and the board's ability and obligation actually to retain and attract and retain competent staff. I think that opinion is a good one. It lays out the limitations that have been imposed on the board by the city salary ordinance and discusses in significant detail what we can do about that as a board. And it's really in connection with the idea or the discussion around whether or not to consider appointing one or more of the officers as board employees so that they wouldn't be subject to the caps in the salary ordinance. Also, I requested that the city attorney's office take a look at the intergovernmental cooperation agreement that was adopted, or not, it wasn't adopted actually, it was drafted back in 2007 in connection with the idea that they were going to hire an executive director as a board employee. That agreement was never entered into, was never executed. It didn't need to be done at the time. When I came on within the salary range so that the chairman of the board didn't see a need to execute it. And at that time, there was also a resolution adopted by the Common Council that would permit hiring board employees. And that, well, a board employee, a single employee at that time, the only position that was up for consideration was executive director. But it's an example of how it could be done, for others. And so we've included that just for information. This discussion is ongoing. And I think, as I mentioned in the last meeting, NCPERS is doing a salary survey. Mr. Siddiqui, do you have a, can you put that on the screen? It's going to be released here before the end of the month. This is a copy of the survey instrument that NCPERS is going to send to its 400 public funds to survey, you know, what the compensation practices are in the public fund space. It's quite detailed, and maybe even a bit of an eye chart. And I don't expect anybody to, you know, look at it carefully today, but just wanted to make you aware that that effort is moving forward, and we expect to hear, we expect to get the results from it in the fall. Talking to Hank Kim, their executive director at NCPERS, we expect to get this in October, possibly November. But it's going out this month, and it's comprehensive. It talks about salary, some funds also have incentive compensation bonuses, particularly funds where they do in-house investing, where they purchase securities. We don't do that. We're not permitted by law to do that, but there are funds that do it. And then it also covers various health and welfare benefits and other fringe benefits like parking, et cetera. So it's a pretty good survey, and we expect to learn a lot about the practices, the current practices in the public fund space. And of course, that will help guide the board's deliberation around compensation for particularly the senior staff people, and especially our investment team that has, where the pay has been frozen for so long. So that's really all I have for this month.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. I have a few comments regarding, but I want to open it up to other board members or staff for comments. Not hearing any, just quickly, I want to just, again, I know that we've had discussions about this compensation, and I know things will be becoming more in focus over the next month with the mayoral election, as well as that survey that's going to be hopefully completed in fall. But I want to let other members know that this will be at the forefront of board meeting discussions, hopefully by the end of this year, and we'll have more clarity regarding it for our staff and that it will affect. So thank you, Jerry, for all that information. And any other comments or questions? Right, not hearing any, we will move on to item number 7, informational, which is going to require us to go into closed session. So please be advised that the Annuity and Pension Board may vote to convene in closed session on the following item, number 8, which is pending litigation report, as provided in section 19.85 sub 1 sub G Wisconsin State Statutes, to confer with legal counsel concerning strategy to be adopted by the body with respect to litigation in which it is or is likely to become involved. The board may then vote to reconvene in open session following the closed session. Do I have a motion to go into closed session?
Ollie will make that motion.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Will second.
Thank you, Ms. Ford. Today is March 29th and time is 9:43 a.m.
We need a roll call. Mr. Campbell?
Aye.
Ms. Ford? Ms. Ford? Ms. King?
Aye.
Mr. Kovac?
Aye.
Ms. Sawa?
Aye.
Mr. Bell?
Aye.
Quorum, and the time again?
And the time is 9:43 a.m.
Thanks.
Open session time is 10:08 a.m. We're back to item number 7, and item B through G will be placed on file regarding. And do we have a motion to adjourn today's meeting?
Mr. Campbell, I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Ms. King will second that.
Mr. Campbell, thank you. And at 10:08, meeting is adjourned, and everyone have a good day.